Live from the Most High Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Recovery Rundown with James Goodson. Recovery-related news and information delivered to you weekly. It's the Recovery Rundown.
All right, where's James at, man? I get this.
Bro!
Let's go, man. They're ready for you.
Woo!
Welcome to another episode of Recovery Rundown. I'm James Goodson. Health and Human Services is working on a new, faster way to reach someone to the National Suicide Hotline. The number currently in use is 1-800-273-TALK. But in the next several months, the government will roll out a new three-digit number to make it more efficient if you're having a mental health emergency. The number is 988. It'll work just the same way 911 works for medical emergencies. You'll be connected to one of the 168 crisis centers throughout the country where counselors answer over 2 million calls a year. More than 47,000 Americans died by suicide last year, making it the 10th leading cause of death. This easier to memorize number should be a real breakthrough for people who need help. It'll be sometime next year that 988 is fully implemented. So in the meantime, if you or someone you know is contemplating suicide or having a mental emergency, call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. And stay tuned to Recovery Rundown. We'll let you know as soon as 988 is fully up and running. A new study out at the University of Arizona may give new hope to people who are suffering from migraines and other forms of chronic pain. According to researchers, prolonged exposure to green light may be just the solution needed for chronic pain sufferers who are searching for drug-free relief. The study involved about 25 patients who literally sat in a dark room with only green LED lighting for a couple hours a day. During this time, some test subjects noticed a decrease in pain episodes in just a few days. For others, it took several weeks. Many medical professionals remain diligent and looking for non-narcotic alternatives to relieving chronic pain. This week, the FDA and CDC have declared teen nicotine vaping an epidemic. This comes after the latest results from the National Youth Tobacco Survey. In fact, the number of high schoolers who use vaping products such as Juul has almost tripled in just the last 2 years. That's about 5.3 million teens, even after all 50 states have made it illegal to sell e-cig products to anyone under 18. The FDA is considering a complete ban on most flavors because of their likely appeal to adolescents. The bottom line is, more teens than ever are vaping, and although there is no data yet that shows the long-term health risks of vaping, the immediate concern is that this may very well lead to some of these kids eventually turning to actual cigarettes and the dire consequences associated with that habit. So in related news, the Senate Majority Leader introduced a bill just this week to raise the federal age for purchasing tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, to 21 nationwide. If the bill is passed, it will require all states to raise the purchasing age to 21. The logic behind this legislation is that high school students are likely to know someone who is 18 years old who can buy them smokes, but they are less likely to know someone who is 21 years old. Another trend we're seeing among young people is the use and abuse of a widely available substance called kratom. Now, if you've not yet heard of this drug, trust us, you soon will. In fact, we here at Most High Media are producing a documentary that aims to give you and your family some insight on this legal yet dangerously addictive drug. Kratom is derived from the leaves of a plant found in Southeast Asia and is marketed as a relief to everything from anxiety to diabetes. It is easily obtained online at many smoke shops and gas stations. It's not regulated by the FDA, so there's no way to know how potent any given amount is. Because it is legal and made from a plant, there's a misperception that kratom is safe. Here in the US, kratom is sold as a powder and can be taken in capsules or even brewed into a tea. One of the active substances found in kratom interacts with the receptors in the brain that produce the same addictive effects as opioids. So there's a high potential for abuse and potential severe psychological dependence. Kratom also stands out because it does not show up on standard drug tests, so it can only be detected if it is specifically tested for. There's still a lot to learn about this, and we will soon bring you everything we know about kratom. Now, here's some news from the opposite end of the age spectrum. Alcohol abuse among the elderly population has risen over 100% since 2001. The results of the study were published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and it shows that 1 in 10 people over 65 years old regularly binge drink. That means they consume 7 or more drinks per episode. It's been widely known for some time now that many long-term health problems are associated with chronic heavy drinking, from cardiovascular issues to liver failure, even several types of cancer. Elderly people are already at an increased risk for many diseases due to their age, and excessive alcohol use will only present additional risks. Here are just a few signs to look for when it comes to alcohol abuse, regardless of the age group. Inability to limit consumption, drinking every day, prioritizing drinking over work or home obligations, changes in social behavior such as isolation, drinking more and more for the same effects, and physical and psychological withdrawal symptoms. And now for our up close story this week. On December 8th, the music world lost another young, talented rapper to the opioid crisis. Juice WRLD went into convulsions and died shortly after his plane touched down in Chicago. Rescue personnel administered Narcan but couldn't save his life. According to witnesses, the musician was mixing Percocet, marijuana, and codeine-laced cough syrup shortly before his death. In his music and in interviews, the breakout rap star regularly spoke of his struggles with drugs, alcohol, and depression. Now, if he is found to have accidentally overdosed on opioid painkillers, which is highly suspected, he'd be the third young, high-profile rapper to die in such a way in recent years. Back in 2017, Lil Peep died from an accidental overdose. He was mixing fentanyl and benzos. He was 21. And just like Juice WRLD, he also referred to drug use in his rap song. Then there's Mac Miller. Mac Miller had 5 top 5 albums in his career. He was just 26 when he died in September 2018 of an accidental overdose. He had fentanyl, cocaine, and alcohol in his system. He talked about having an addiction to a drink called Lean that's made with the same type of cough syrup Juice WRLD had in his possession. Here's Most High Media producer Andrew LaCosta with further commentary on this story.
When I first started using, it was very... I got influenced, right? I was influenced by the people that were around me, the music I was listening to, just all types of things, movies, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of, it's time to change that narrative. You know, like in my eyes, Juice WRLD, Mac Miller, Lil Peep, all them passing is, while yet it's not confirmed, right? I do want to note that it's not confirmed that Juice WRLD passed because of drugs. He was high. He does have a long history of using drugs. He raps about it in his songs. He sings about it in his songs. He talks about trying to get off of it in his songs, you know? And I do want to just kind of note that it's time to change that narrative. You know what I mean? Like, does it have to take Mac Miller passing? Does it have to take Lil Peep passing? Does it have to take Juice WRLD passing for us to change, for us to see that we do not have to be victimized by this drug anymore, by these drugs anymore, that we don't have to sit here and be like, no, this is my life now because my favorite artists are doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired of seeing people my age or younger or anything else like that, like, dying because of this drug. You know what I mean? That was a huge part of my life for a long time. And now that I've found recovery, it's a huge part of what I'm trying to change for other people. You know, so thank you.
That's all for this episode. If you're interested in more recovery-related stories, go to our website, themosthighshow.com, and be sure to download our app. We here at Most High Media want to wish you and your families a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll be back real soon with more Recovery Rundown. Thank you so much for watching. I'm James Goodson. See you soon. That rhythm.